I inhaled slowly and stared at Lashiel for a moment. Then I said, "After I killed Justin and got my head together at Ebenezer's place, I promised myself something. I promised that I would live my life on my own terms, that I knew the difference between right and wrong, and that I wouldn't cross the line. I wouldn't allow myself to become like Justin de Morne." "Don't you want to survive?" my double asked. I rose from the chair and started walking into the darkness outside the light. "Of course I do, but some things are more important than survival." "Yeah," my double said, "like the people who are going to get killed when you die and don't stop Kemmler's disciples." I froze at the edge of the darkness. "Take the high road if you want to," my double said. "Choose to walk away from this strength in the name of principle. But after your noble death, everyone you no longer protect, everyone who might one day have come to you for help, everyone who was killed in the aftermath of the Dark Hallow, every life you might have protected in the future will be on your head." I stared at the darkness and then closed my eyes. "Regardless of where it came from, Lashiel offers you the power of knowledge. If you turn aside from that power, power only you can take up, then you abandon your commitment to protect and defend those who are not strong enough to do it themselves." "No," I said. That isn't my responsibility." "Of course it is," my subconscious said, voice clear and sharp. "You coward." I stopped and turned, staring at him. "If you go to your death rather than do everything you might to prevent what is happening, you are merely committing suicide and trying to make yourself feel better about it. That is the act of a coward. It is beneath contempt." I went through the logic of his argument and didn't make any headway against it, of course. While my double might look like another person, he wasn't. He was me. "If I open this door now," I said slowly, "I might not be able to close it again." "Or you might," my double said. "I have no intention of allowing her any control, so you will be the one who determines it." "What if I can't contain her again once she's freed?" "Why shouldn't you be able to? It's your mind, your will, your choice. You still believe in free will, do you not?" "It's dangerous," I said. "Of course it is. And now you must choose. Will you face that danger, or will you run from it and so condemn those who need your strength to their deaths?" I stared at him for a minute. Then I looked at Lashiel. She waited, her eyes steady, her expression calm. "Can you do it?" I asked her bluntly. "Can you show me what was on those pages?"
"Of course," she answered, her manner one of subservience without a trace of resentment. "I would be pleased to offer you whatever assistance you permit." She looked humble. She looked cooperative. But I knew better. The mere shadow of the fallen angel Lashiel was a vital and powerful force. She might look humble and cooperative, but if that was her true nature, she wouldn't have fallen to begin with. I didn't think she was harboring murderous impulses or anything. My instincts told me that she was genuinely pleased to help me. After all, that was the first step. And she had patience. She could afford to wait. Dangerous indeed. Lashiel represented nothing less than the intrinsic allure of power itself. I had never sought to become a wizard. Hell, a lot of the time I thought about how nice things might be if I hadn't been one. The power had been a birthright, and if it had grown since then, it had done so by the necessity of survival. But I'd tasted a darker side to the possession of power, the searing satisfaction of seeing an enemy fall to my strength, the lust to test myself against another, to challenge them and see who was the strongest, the mindless hunger for more that, if once indulged, might never be slaked. One of the coldest, most evil souls I have ever encountered once told me that the reason I fought so hard to do what seemed right was that I was terrified to look within me and see the desire to cease the fight and do as I would, free of conscience or remorse. And now I could see that he had been right. I looked at the fallen angel, patiently waiting, and was terrified. But there were innocent lives at stake, men and women and children who needed protection. If I didn't give it to them, who would? I took a deep breath, reached into my pocket, and found a silver key there. I threw it to my double. He caught it and rose. Then he unlocked Lashiel's shackles. Lashiel inclined her head to him respectfully. Then she walked over to me, gorgeous and warm in the harsh light, her eyes lowered. Without a trace of self-consciousness, she sank down to her knees, bowed her head, and said, "How may I serve you, my host?" I opened my eyes and found myself on my back. There was a candle burning nearby. Mouse had curled himself protectively around my head, and his tongue was flicking over my face, rough and wet and warm. I hurt absolutely everywhere. I'd learned to block out pain under the harsh lessons of Justin de Morne, but it went only so far. Lashiel had shown me a different technique.